Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, legit boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. You like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time, and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, and available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Hey, make sure you're subscribed to YouTube if you actually want to get your notifications.
Yeah.
Because we've been getting like another one of those weird sub drops lately.
Yeah, it's been pretty substantial.
And then I noticed somebody either in the comments or on Twitter, I forget which one, said, hey, I've been unsubbed to this.
It was on YouTube.
So they might be pulling some shenanigans again. Make sure you're subbed to Going In Raw if you want to be. Make sure they haven't, done that on the sly in the dead of night, Larson.
Yes.
We're also available wherever podcasts can be found. We have a great partnership with CastBox. Be sure to sub to Going In Raw on CastBox. Who knows? You might be the recipient of thanks, friendo. Hey,
thanks,
you know
friendo.
What?
We're rapidly approaching 600 comments. I think I checked this morning. 577.
Wow.
So count in about a week.
Let's see, we're 577. So still, you could be number 600 comment. We're looking to get there by Friday. All you got to do is get on, download the CastBox app, sub to Going In Raw, and then leave us a comment.
Oh, here we go. Jeremy Wilkinson. I tried out CastBox based on Steven Larson's recommendation. It's real. Thanks, guys. You have the best wrestling podcast out there. Thanks, friendo.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to put this there. Thanks, friendo. Look, there. Replied. Done. So you could get a thanks, friendo, also.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's another one.
Go ahead.
Dan Romanelli. Switch podcast apps for you guys and have been enjoying it so far. Keep up the great work. Thanks, friendo.
Yes. Anyways, we are also...
Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/Steve and Larson. Good stuff.
Yeah.
We have many reward tiers.
Yes.
And
many rewards associated with tiers, those tiers including...
Here's one of them. Look at that. Friendo care package. Boom. A comic book. It's like a 32 or 40 page comic book. A new Steven Larson adventure that can
only be found in the pages of a comic book, yes.
You get a bunch of stickers and a postcard. It's got all our old logo stuff on it. Eventually, I'll update the Friendo care package with new logo. Anyways, we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Check it out. We got a bunch of great designs there. Oh, boy. Boy, a lot of people were steamed. We had some steamed hams last night.
Hams.
Hams. Over what could be considered one of the worst segments in recent history.
It was pretty lousy.
So a lot of people are comparing it to Bayley, This Is Your Life, and the old day. Those segments from
yeah, no, that's kind of what we said.
It was
going to be one of two things. Yeah. No middle ground. Either Sami Zayn would somehow make the segment entertaining,
yeah,
or it'd be an absolute train wreck.
Yeah, and we were pretty confident it was going to be a train wreck.
Yeah.
And we're right about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
That was a pretty sure bet. And here's one thing. I got to take you to task on this, my friend.
What?
The next time I bring up impact and you get that look on your face, well, man, that was immediate, and you get that look on your face, I want you to remember the last major angle they ran with Bobby Lashley
yeah.
was really damn good.
Yeah, I can believe that.
It was really damn good. There was depth, complexity, some realism to it, a little bit of shoot
well,
in there.
Well, they were working off the idea that he might quit wrestling altogether and dedicate to MMA, dedicate himself full-time to MMA, right?
They brought in his entire MMA family, American yeah. Top Team.
Yeah.
They brought in Stefan Bonner, who was wildly entertaining.
Yeah.
They had a really fun match at, Bound for Glory? I don't know. Maybe Slammiversary. I don't really know their pay-per-views. But contrast that.
Oh, they have done nothing with Bobby Lashley.
To what we've got from the WWE, and you cannot say that Impact, from time to time, still kind of knows what they're doing in WWE.
Well, I don't think I would ever said that Impact wasn't capable of doing good stuff. I'm just not interested in watching it.
Yeah. WWE left a colossal turd in the mouths of many fans last night, and this is coming off the heels of the reports that they're on the verge of signing a $1 billion deal
with Fox to air SmackDown Live.
Exactly. And then they wheel out this trash. And here's the sad thing. For a lot of people, this sullied Raw altogether. I actually thought, with the exception of the extended Roman Stephanie promo stuff at the beginning and this ridiculousness with him being this anti-corporate.
Well, let's start with that. We can talk plenty about the Sami Zayn segment.
Yeah.
Later on. So the show kicked off with Kurt Angle coming out, dropping a bit of a promo. He's interrupted by Stephanie. And the overriding arc for Kurt Angle was that Stephanie was stealing spotlight authority from him. I mean, she's the commissioner, so she, you know, holds basically absolute authority over
yeah.
Raw.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Kurt was saying he was going to preside over the contract signing between Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey for their match at Made the Bank. Steph comes out and says, hold on, I'll do that, thank you very much. Roman Reigns comes out, you know, or ambles out.
Yeah.
That's the story of Roman Reigns, not just tonight, but pretty much since WrestleMania. Zero genuine intensity from Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Especially during his match later on against Kevin Owens that happened right after the segment. He just felt like he was just kind of going through the paces, a lot of it.
Yeah.
And like he'd have to be intense to go to the ropes and kind of shake him
mm-hmm.
mildly like this.
Yeah, everything is done at like 70%.
I know, and they wonder why he doesn't connect.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, see Kevin Owens, who can be doing the most basic thing,
yeah.
but there's purpose behind it.
Man.
And he's able yeah. to communicate that.
When Kevin Owens is out there, it's such a joy to watch. Maybe that's why I didn't really know. I mean, I think I've just come to accept that 70% Roman is what we get these days. And so I always focus on, like, the guy he's fighting.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So Kevin Owens is always a joy to watch.
Yeah.
Because he puts everything into everything he does. But even, you're absolutely right. When Roman, so Stephanie then comes out.
Says she's going to preside over the contract signing. Roman right. comes out, says, you know, hey, what about me? What about Roman?
If you're going to say my name, say it to my face.
Yeah. And so she says, you know, I've taken your concerns about being overlooked, passed over, all the way up to the top, all the way to Vince. Sorry, can't help you.
Yeah.
So they're interjecting Stephanie into this storyline about Roman being screwed out of the title, essentially.
We were asked about this
on Matt Chat. Yeah.
Matt Chat, was it this week or the week before? I think it was this week, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think it was this week.
This past week.
Whether Stephanie could be the one to eventually get Roman over, because I'm trying to remember who asked the question. I don't recall.
I was going to look it up right now.
Okay, good.
Continue.
No one likes Stephanie.
Mm-hmm, right.
So if anybody can get Roman over as a face, why not Stephanie?
And Stephanie knows how to. She knows how to work that stuff. I mean,
yeah.
If anybody could, like, she did a fantastic job with the Ronda Rousey
yeah.
stuff. She's done good work in the past.
Yeah, but Ronda Rousey also didn't have 4 years of not being accepted by the fans.
Oh yeah,
against
yeah,
her.
Yeah.
I mean, and I brought the idea that, you know, Steph was involved in the Roman Triple H storyline a couple years
mm-hmm.
back.
Yeah.
Obviously, that didn't do the trick.
And Triple H actually went a long ways towards making that work when it did work.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
Vince
mm-hmm.
for eating Superman punches off the apron
yeah,
at like 70
yeah.
years old.
So anyways, Roman, you know, goes on and on. Kevin Owens comes out and says, "You know, Stephanie doesn't play favorites. I'm
Vinny Elliott.
Vinny Elliott. Thank you. You know, I can testify to that because I have problems with her brother and her father. Yet she brought me over to Raw. He rests his arm on Steph's shoulder. She says, "Don't ever touch me."
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and this is great. Kevin Owens to get heat. Praised Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm,
he says, "I actually like you, Roman Reigns.
Yeah,
I actually like you a lot, and I think you people here in the audience like to chant. Let's chant, 'Thank you, Roman.'" And it all related to him attacking gender, Roman attacking gender, allowing Kevin Owens to get in the Money in the Bank qualifier and winning that match.
Mm-hmm.
So his thanks, his appreciation of Roman Reigns was self-serving. Nonetheless, he was speaking highly of Roman, but it was to get heel heat for himself.
Yeah,
brilliant move by Kevin Owens.
Yeah, so that does indicate, because he's not going to go off script, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that indicate there's some level of, like, self-awareness
there?
Well,
the last two Royal Rumbles, who's been the last person eliminated? Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
To get a face pop for whoever wins.
Yeah.
So, no, they're aware that Roman Reigns gets booed.
How do they not understand that this is a hole they're not digging their way out of with any storyline in the current incarnation of Roman Reigns? It's so weird.
I think there's probably Vince who is... "Oh, I'm not deviating for anybody."
Yeah.
And then there's everybody else.
Yeah.
And there's people that are savvy enough to realize, okay, this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And they try to use that to advance story or character. And then you got Vince saying, ultimately, in the larger picture, "No, Roman is my guy. We're going full speed ahead with his push. And we're going to get him over as face of the company type guy no matter what."
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, this all leads to a match between Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. Stephanie makes a match. Happened right now.
Yes.
And yeah, Roman Reigns is kind of sleepwalking through this whole thing, I felt like.
Yeah, but I mean,
there was one part where Owens is out of the ring, Reigns is in it, and like he can just hop through the ropes and hop down the floor from the apron. Mm-hmm. Instead, he walks through the ropes, slowly walks across the apron, down the ring steps,
yeah,
and then walks over to Kevin Owens. Gosh, show some urgency.
Maybe he thinks that he's supposed to be more of like a stalking type
guy. No, but there was zero menace to it.
Maybe just he doesn't know. I don't think he knows that.
He just seems like he was taking his time.
I know.
I mean, because it's a bummer because Roman can be a capable performer.
Yeah.
You know, for a while we were like, you know, his selling isn't consistent. He's gotten better with that. But ever since Mania, especially, maybe because he was, you know, he found out apparently day of
mm-hmm.
or that weekend that he wasn't going to beat Brock. And then he's like, well, what the heck am I even bothering?
I know. I kind of feel like that's the vibe that I get from him. And, you know, I'm not looking to enter the headspace of Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I know.
But it gives off the vibe of, what are we even doing here?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing with me?
Yeah.
Because it has entered this really bizarre space of... So, like, we had our whiteboard out, like, a couple weeks ago, talking about Roman, and where exactly was he in this quest for Roman to be the guy? Have they moved on from it? And that was the one saving grace that we had always talked about post-Mania was, at least the experiment will be done with.
Yeah.
And they just peed all over that, didn't they?
Yep.
Because this experiment is nowhere near being done,
nope.
Evidently. But there does seem to be some element of, well, we still want to see if we can do this, but not so hardcore to the point that we're going to mortgage everything off it, because they still have Finn Balor and Braun in high positions.
And Seth Rollins.
And Seth Rollins.
Who might be the most over guy in Raw right now.
I think he might be. So anyways, the match went on. Jinder eventually interfered.
Yeah, Reigns...
with rib tape. You called that one.
Yeah, yeah. Owens and Reigns were outside. Reigns speared Kevin Owens. And then right after that, Jinder Mahal attacks Roman Reigns. Gets him back in the ring. Kevin Owens joins in the attack, and then mm-hmm. Seth Rollins comes out and makes the save.
Yeah, and that leads to a tag team match.
Yeah, which as soon as Jinder came out and Owens joined in on the attack, I was like, oh, okay, we're getting a tag match now. Here comes Seth.
Well, when Seth came out, I was like, okay, that makes sense. But here's my thing. Like, and then we get Seth Rollins, we get Kevin Owens, we get Jinder Mahal, three guys that I actually really like.
Yeah,
All in a match together. I thought it was fun. I thought that this entire chunk, taking up essentially the first entire hour.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like when Raw does that. I think that's one thing that we would miss if Raw went back down to 2 hours.
Yeah, we definitely
is
would.
That it feels kind of special when they do these long things.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, maybe that's why Roman didn't have that sense of urgency, because he's like, man,
I got another match.
Yeah, exactly.
But I will counter with the fact that Kevin Owens did.
Oh, Kevin Owens did. Seth Rollins has done that before with the Gauntlet match. Countless other people have done it and never let up on the intensity.
Mm-hmm.
Why none of those people are currently Universal Champion?
Who
I don't know.
Who knows? Anyway,
I do not know.
Going back to that tag match, great stuff. Seth Rollins is the man right now.
Oh, he's the man. He's, absolutely.
He is operating on such another level right now. He seems, ever since, it seems like ever since the Shield got back together, I'll really say that Seth seems finally comfortable in his role as one of, if now probably top face on Raw. He seems completely comfortable in that role, really knows his character, where he's going with it. And he's putting on phenomenal matches week after week, which goes a long way. And I think that's primarily why he's really getting over, because he's night in and night out putting on the best matches, you know, starting with that Gauntlet match and carrying on ever since.
It's crazy, like, what can happen. You know, people are watching pro wrestling, and the guy who puts on the best pro wrestling matches
is the one that gets over the most.
Is the one that is loved by people.
Yeah.
It's crazy how
that
happens.
And yeah, who'd think that'd be the algorithm
that
there?
That would happen, yeah.
Anyways, Rollins pins Owens after a stomp. It was kind of great because Owens averted the stomp and then just got it again. It was great.
Yes, Seth sort of course corrected. Okay, now you're here. No, that was good. I like that finish.
Rollins and Reigns make their way up to the top of the ramp. Jinder out of nowhere attacks them both with a chair, and he really lays into Reigns.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
And later on, it was announced that Jinder will be taking on Reigns at Money in the Bank, but also next week, Jinder will challenge Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental title. This will be a true test of Seth Rollins' wrestling abilities if he can get a match on par with what he's been doing at a Jinder Mahal.
It'll be fine. Like, Jinder Mahal, we've said this before, Jinder's not a great wrestler.
But when he works with someone who works a fast pace, his matches are better.
When he has a stinker opponent, his matches are unbearable. But when he's got a good opponent like an AJ Styles or somebody like that, and Seth Rollins is obviously way up there as well. God, I really would love to see Seth just one match in New Japan.
Oh, I know.
Just see what he's not doing.
I know.
See what he's not doing. I know. That'd be fantastic. Man, that'd be something else. Ooh.
Imagine him versus Kenny.
Oh, man.
Let's give him 45 minutes.
Him versus Okada.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Versus Naito.
Oh, man. Anyways.
Versus Will Ospreay.
Oh, man. I saw a little video sequence of some match that Ospreay had recently where him and the dude were doing, like, all sorts of ninja things to, like, start off the match.
Oh, yeah.
It was so cheesy. It's, you know, I think there's a place for that. You know, it's the old Jim Cornette pissing all over it thing, you know. The Ospreay and Ricochet type stuff. I think there's totally a place for that. And, like, I love to see it sometimes, but sometimes I'm like, it's just, you're just dancing around, man. But Seth is the man. I love Seth.
Yeah, Seth is great. All right, now we're to the Sami Zayn segment with the Lashley sisters.
Oh, man. I don't know. What is with this? Like, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, they brought out the little person gimmick.
Oh, that's right.
Which just makes me even, like, when I was thinking about it more, I'm like, God, it's 2018, man. You can't be doing that stuff anymore.
You can definitely tell the segments where Vince was, like, the creative mind behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was one.
Yeah.
This is probably another one.
Yeah. I don't get it, man. I honestly don't get it. I'm like, how can you be so freaking tone deaf? How can you be so outrageously tone deaf? In this day and age, you're having three guys come out dressed like women and then, you know, get their asses handed to them by Bobby Lashley. It's number one, none of it was actually funny. None of it was clever. I mean, I'm fairly certain there's at least 10 levels of being offensive there. Like, it just doesn't, man, here's the thing that boggles my mind. You just signed, or you're on the verge, or whatever. You have agreements, if the reports are to be to believe.
That you're
500, about $450 million in TV deals, and you're gonna risk the reputation of your company, because you know how it works. Everybody on Twitter starts crapping all over this.
Yeah,
and it was the same thing when they named their tournament, or the Battle Royal, the Fabulous Moolah thing. Twitter crapped all over it, got back to one of their sponsors, and they said, you better stop that if you want this Snickers money.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The same thing can happen with Fox. Wait, you're going to be doing this kind of stuff, and we're giving you how much? You're going to put our network?
Yeah, maybe we're not going to give you that much money.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe you're not worth that much. Maybe don't do that again.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Fox will say nothing. Maybe nobody will say nothing. Maybe nobody will find Maybe there won't be enough of a...
It does seem, you know, like the networks, I'm sure, are well aware that at least once a year, WWE drops a turd like this.
Yeah.
It seems to happen. Last year was the Bayley, This Is Your Life.
It was May of last year.
And I believe the year before that was the Old Day segment.
Yeah.
And you can probably go further back. Once a year,
but
just an absolute disaster of a segment.
The thing is, it's one thing to just be boring or unfunny for an extended period of time. And that was This Is Your Life, Bayley. There's nothing overwhelmingly offensive about it, you know? But in this day and age, when so many people are taking another look at what is and is not acceptable in terms of this kind of content, you know, people are sensitive about that
stuff.
Yeah,
that's true.
And they're outspoken about
it.
And so this could cross a line. And for a lot of people, maybe it doesn't. But for a lot of people, and for a very vocal number of people, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, as a company, do you really, is it really worth it to potentially have those people? You know, if people are saying, oh, this is your life, Bayley, it's so long and boring. I mean, no sponsor's going to care about that. Mm-hmm. You know, the ratings stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
But if people out there are saying, hey, this is potentially transphobic or whatever, you know, those are valid concerns.
Yes, that's true.
To a lot of people that might have some impact on you know, the money about it. It's surprising to me that they would be so tone deaf that they wouldn't realize that this made it out of the writer's room. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're, you know, TV negotiations are ongoing right now. Maybe we should play it a little bit safe. You know, maybe we shouldn't be doing this kind of stuff that could potentially be offensive to a great number of people out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
that's true.
If you do or do not consider it offensive, I'm surprised that a company who's worried about the bottom line, is worried about making a lot of money, would do something like that. It's surprising to me. So, and here's the thing. For me, it was so awkward, and me personally thought it was so. I started watching when the dudes came out dressed up like women, and they got in there. I was like, this is so cringeworthy. I fast forwarded this morning. I was like, well, this is my job.
Gotta watch it.
I can't like talk about it if I can't watch it. So I watched this morning, and it was just as bad as I figured it'd
be. Yeah, it was awful.
It was just as bad as I figured it'd be.
It was awful.
So anyways, he brings out these guys dressed like women. They're supposed to be Bobby Lashley's sisters.
And they kind of...
they have all the traits of the things that he talked about.
Then they give their own takes on what Bobby mentioned in his interview with Renee Young.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them was carrying a broom and said that he used that to defend herself.
Yeah.
Against Bobby because he would pick on her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Second sister said that they bought the helmet because Bobby would come around and thump him on the head with his knuckle.
Yeah.
Third one had that towel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Bobby Lashley came down to the ring. And like his reaction to the whole thing was weird. I think the idea was like he was laughing it off.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Bitter is a bad look, like just unnecessarily. I think they want Bobby to have some. I mean, the dude does have charm and he does have personality.
Yes.
And it's so funny because I saw so much more of that in Impact than I ever had in the first place in WWE. Mm-hmm.
Or we're seeing now.
But they want him to. They want him to be a guy who is, you know, willing to.
It seemed like he was willing to laugh at. Like he wasn't taking anything seriously.
Yeah, and I think he understood this was going to end with him whooping up on Sami Zayn.
Yes.
And when he tried to do that, the sisters attacked Bobby Lashley. He was able to, of course, get the upper hand and dispatched of him pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Throughout the segment, it's the worst thing. It's the worst type of segment when you can just feel the vibe of the crowd, and the crowd is understanding that the revelation is dawning on them that I just paid like, you know, X number of dollars for this ticket and they're laying this turd on me live.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's a restless, annoyed crowd, that's the worst.
Well, one of the questions we have here later on was essentially, I'll paraphrase because we'll get to it later. You know, don't you wish the crowd had been more vocal in terms of chanting, this is boring, so on and so forth. And I'm kind of happy they didn't because it just forced everybody to set in what was going on and understand what an absolute disaster that was.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they were just kind of like tuning it out, essentially.
Yeah.
They weren't really paying any attention to it. Only amplified that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, and you know, we've heard with Roman at times that specifically that, you know, well, he's getting a reaction, so that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the sense that there was no reaction to this segment at all from the live crowd, it'll, this is wishful thinking on my part, it'll force creative, you know, second guess some of these ideas are coming up with because they're awful.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, like you said, once a year they drop a turd like this. Hopefully in May of 2019 they'll do one that isn't quite as, you know.
They'll hopefully learn their lesson in some respect.
Hopefully they'll learn their lesson, exactly. Anyways, moving on. After that, we had Ember Moon versus Alexa Bliss. It was preceded by an Alexa Bliss interview where, man.
In gorilla position. Oh, yeah. This is
yeah,
where
I was in gorilla position again.
She brought up the
Romans and the Visigoths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An analogy that wasn't exactly totally fitting.
It's the only thing I have this to compare to is there isn't the episode of Next Generation.
Of course, it comes back Next Generation.
Picard was talking about, it was like a Borg episode, I think. And he was talking to Guinan about like the Borg and how they're about to face them. And it was the one where he became Locutus, but he wasn't Locutus yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're about to engage. And he was like, I wonder if the Romans watching the Visigoths coming over the horizon understood blah, 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 something like that. And it was very deep and cool.
Yes, yes.
And this was none of those things.
No, no.
It was like Alexa Bliss. I don't think, God bless her soul. I'm pretty sure she sort of talked as if she didn't quite.
Well, she's probably given the script like 10 minutes before she
she's supposed to understand the sack of Rome 10 minutes before they go live in gorilla position.
And use it as a metaphor for her loss against Ember Moon a couple weeks back.
Exactly. She said the Visigoths, the Romans were taken by surprise by the Visigoths.
Yes.
But that's not going to be me this time. This time, she said, I didn't even know who Ember Moon was when she showed up. And this time the Roman...
So sure, he was taken by surprise. That already happened.
Right, that already happened. And now I know, I understand more of who she is. And so now I'm going to... It's like, no.
No, what she needed to find was an example of similar to that where somebody or something was taken by surprise, was vanquished
regrouped.
At the moment, regrouped.
Yeah.
Regrouped.
I said regrouped.
And got the upper hand.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case.
Bust out some Sun Tzu, maybe.
Yeah,
something like that.
But that wasn't the idea. That wasn't what happened here.
No. Whoever wrote this was watching some documentary on History Channel.
But didn't watch the full thing. They just watched the part about the sack of Rome.
Right.
And thought, oh, okay, I can use this in a promo, but didn't watch the rest of it.
They probably figured, oh, I'm sure Rome came back even stronger than ever after that. No. Anyways, so yeah, she had that little interview thing. And it was, hey, you know what? God bless her, though. She didn't, because it was a pretty...
Oh, there was a lot of stuff to get through.
There was a lot of stuff to get through. She didn't stumble once.
Nope.
I'd be like, so here's the thing. Ember Moon, it's like 410 AD, I think. The Visigoths surprised the...
They had one thing the Romans didn't. The element of surprise.
Surprise and bows and arrows. But the Romans, they had... And then Vince is just staring at me right now.
She finishes up. Are we good?
Right, exactly. The Romans, they had axes. God, why didn't they write that for Baron? Why didn't they write that for Baron?
I know.
I'm Rome, and no way Jose can be Goth.
And he beat me by roll-up.
He beat me by roll-up.
Took me by surprise.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be rolled up
but
again.
I'm not going to be surprised again.
No. How much do you pay for Twitter opinions? Anyways, so Mickie James came out with Alexa Bliss. It's partway during the match. She took off her shoe.
In the ring, and takes off one of her high heels.
Yeah, man.
I guess is about to use it as a weapon. The ref saw it, said, you're out of here.
Oh, yeah.
So Alexa had no help. She eats an eclipse.
Yeah.
Ember picks up the win.
Man, this makes me so happy.
Same here.
This is one of the very few times I have been happier with the booking of an NXT person, alumni, on the main roster. They've treated her better than they treated her in NXT.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was basically a glorified transitional champion. Like, they always booked her strong, but just not strong enough. She just beat Alexa Bliss.
I know.
Like, clean with her freaking eclipse.
Yep.
God damn, she is such a good wrestler.
She's fantastic.
Man. So, yeah. No, that was rad. I thought that was great. I really just hope that to become sort of a well-rounded
character.
Character, I really want her to take whatever promo classes Cass is taking, because I think Cass has done a good job with his promos. Ember Moon, just take some promo classes. Talk to an acting coach or something.
It's all just all about ebb and flow and performance.
But honestly, it's one of those things where her wrestling's so damn good.
Oh, I know.
Especially
if,
compared to everybody
else.
She's
just decent at promos. She's going to go far.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I don't think she's not bad. It's the opposite of Roman Reigns' problem. She's too intense in her promos.
Yeah. She tries too hard.
Yeah.
She puts too much in it.
She just needs to know the ebbs and flows of the performance and when to dial it up and when to dial it back a little bit.
Telling you, man, put a Corona in her hand. Chilling out helps everybody.
It's true.
Stephanie backstage. Oh, yeah. Stephanie was backstage.
So she took over Kurt Angle's office. Put some flowers in there, picture of her dad.
Yeah, that was cute.
In walks Finn and Braun Strowman. Finn wants a rematch against Dolph and Drew based on the finish last week.
And she says, hey, you're not tag team. You're singles.
Forced to tag.
Yeah. And so she said, first she offered him, she said, would you like some fruit? And Balor said, no, I'm good on fruit.
Don't mind if I do. He grabs an apple. Braun does.
Apple, put it by his side, right? Which set up this amazing moment. I love Braun and Finn.
So Stephanie, go ahead.
She says, you guys aren't a team. You guys are both going to be facing each other in Money in the Bank. Why don't we get a little preview in the spirit of competition? Oh, because she's trying to rouse him up a little bit. She's like, Finn, I'm pretty sure you feel Braun was the reason why you guys lost last week.
Well, so she said, Braun, I feel, you know, Finn was the one who got pinned last week.
Yeah.
And they both kind of looked at each other.
Yeah. And then she said, in the spirit of competition, why don't you guys fight tonight? And so that ended up being our main event match.
Well, it's funny because Finn just smiles like, okay, cool. And then Braun gets the apple, smashes it. Yeah. I like competition. And there's a smashing of the apple that scared Finn.
You see Finn's look like, oh, man. Even though he totally lost last night, Finn, I think that he has, number one, he seems like he's having a lot of fun regardless of what he's doing. But I think especially working with Braun these last two weeks, there seems to be an extra little spring in his expressions.
Yeah.
You know?
He had a great showing in the main event last night.
Oh, my God, he did.
And
yeah.
He probably got Braun's best match out of him. Because they just told a good story.
Yeah.
It wasn't complicated.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good story.
Yeah. No, it was fantastic. So anyways, that was coming up later on in the main event. But before that, we had another No Way Jose versus...
Baron Corbin.
And they were talking about Baron Corbin, Ruby Riott, and Corey Graves.
Doing a photo shoot for...
Inked magazine.
Yeah, it's a tattoo magazine.
Yeah.
And there's a magazine for tattoo enthusiasts.
Enthusiasts, yeah, man. I love Inked. It's like classy because there's like a couple different variations. I used to look at tattoo magazines. And there's like a couple variations on them. There's like the nicer ones, which is like Inked.
Yeah.
Like very nice photography. Then there's like some super trashy ones. I'm not going to say trashy, but there's like a lot of like pictures from like tattoo conventions. And so you just see like some old dude's ass because like they take a picture of the back of him naked because you got like all these elaborate tattoos and stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of gross.
Yeah.
But anyways, so that was fun. And then during this match, Corey Graves said something that was very interesting about Baron Corbin. But it also sounds like the most Baron Corbin thing imaginable. He says he collects skulls. Human skulls. That's weird. That's weird.
It's a little weird.
I don't know what to make of that, man.
Yeah, I don't know either. But as you said, it is
After he said that, I was like, man, I'm probably never going to get Baron to say, this you're watching Going In Raw. or hey, you're not me. There's some odd things going on there to collect skulls, man. Like, those are people. They should be, like, resting in the ground or something, not chilling on Baron Corbin's mantle. This is a little weird, right?
A little bit.
it's not even like it's a... You mentioned off camera, you're like, it'd be cool if he was, like, recreating scenes from...
Oh, Hamlet.
Hamlet, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, your head, you're not me. Surprise, Corbin
kicked out of a roll-up attempt.
Yeah, that was huge.
But then he hit it end of days on No Way Jose, picked up the win.
Yeah.
Not a surprising result.
I'm coming around to his theme song. I just wish they would start it when the dude's vocals kick in.
No, his old theme was way better.
Well, how about if this new one started out with a motorcycle? Would that make it cooler?
No, this song was better.
Well, it'd make it cooler.
It would make it cooler, but his old song was better. It just didn't have vocals. I guess they wanted vocals for Baron.
Anyways, Kurt Angle's backstage.
Again, he's talking to Chad Gable and tells Chad Gable that he would have been the one to replace Jinder Mahal in the Monday Night Qualifier.
Right about that.
Yeah, if
called
he
that
had
one.
His way. However, he didn't. Stephanie went over his head again, put Kevin Owens in the match.
Hey, for being just a regular backstage segment, I thought this had all sorts of charm to it.
Yeah.
Because they had to reference the fact that Kurt Angle got kicked out of his office. He said, I gave it to Stephanie, but we all know he got kicked out of it.
Yeah.
And Drew and Dolph come in. They come into the shot. And Kurt Angle, I said this before, I think they did miss a huge opportunity to have Chad Gable be his son. Because him
they're
and Chad Gable...
They're literally the same height.
They're the same height.
They look like they're comparable in terms of build.
And when they stand there in silence, they have chemistry. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Like, they really do come off like father-son.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was an opportunity missed. I hope they do big things with Chad Gable because I really like him.
Yeah, I do too.
Anyways, Drew and Dolph enter the picture. Dolph starts making fun of Kurt Angle's new office. It's a backstage area with some pipes around.
Yeah, Drew acts menacing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gets into Chad Gable's face, but he's like way taller
than
him.
Yeah, he's good. 8 inches taller.
You hear that? You hear that rumor that Vince is really high on Drew?
Well, he is the chosen one.
Why would he not be high on him? That guy is fantastic.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
man. I don't know if you paid attention to because this all led to a match between Chad Gable and Dolph later on.
Yeah.
I couldn't take my eyes off Drew in the background.
I know,
lurking in the back.
I know.
Like he just went out to grab the ropes and did this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So slow.
I know.
Oh, my God.
He's so great. He's just like, he's intensity personified.
Yes, he should give some intensity to Roman Reigns because Drew has intensity to spare.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. Yeah. Next, the B team versus Breezango. Breezango dropped an iPhone promo before the match, criticizing the B team's fashion choices and also putting over their new T-shirt.
Yeah, they have a new T-shirt. It's the one with the ticket on it.
Right? Yeah, it's not a bad-looking shirt.
Yeah, it's a decent-looking shirt. It's okay. Probably uncomfortable as all get out, though. Let's see. Anytime you have like a giant image, just
I know,
silk screened
on an already probably stiff shirt.
Yeah.
Good. B team picked up a win with their finisher in a pretty short match.
And yeah, the celebration seemed longer than the match itself.
It was. They went and grabbed a chair from the commentary table and rode it down the ramp. It was a pretty fun celebration.
They went everywhere. It was great. Yeah.
Next, Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax contract signing with Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, man, I think they did as much with this as they could have because neither Nia nor Ronda are, like, terribly good promos. Stephanie, I'm glad that Stephanie was out there. Because
yeah,
she was
probably a good idea for
her
to carry the segment. It just felt, you know, we just had, you know, Stephanie talking a ton to open the show.
I know, it was shades of the old authority days when it was just way too much Stephanie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought this was, they kept it simple. There was no physicality.
No, and then I mean, like Stephanie was you know
egging him on,
poking at him a little bit, saying you know, hey, you know, Nia thinks this, Ronda thinks this.
Yeah,
can you, hey, Ronda? Can you even get the arm bar on Nia?
Yeah, none of it was like out of line though. I mean, she made reference to Nia's size, but I didn't.
Well,
feel
she
like...
said she's you know made reference to Nia having being lazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. That was kind of out of line.
Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It was what it was. Ronda at the end said...
Well, they shook hands, and Ronda said, I'm going to take the woman, your woman's title and your arm.
And your arm. I thought it was reasonably well delivered.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you and I both agree this probably should have waited a little while, but...
And if the reasoning behind putting Ronda this match now is true, it's ridiculous.
I know.
There's a wealth of other things that...
We could have come up with like 10 other things she could have done off the top of our heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So anyways, next up we had, I mean,
Chad, oh, sorry, go ahead.
It's funny. No, I was going to mention this. So yeah, we had Chad Gable, Dolph Ziggler. After that, we had some Riot Squad stuff. And I feel like that would have been a perfect opportunity for the Riot Squad, especially to be Nia Jax's next thing to get through because there's not a lot for the Riot Squad to do. Like they get no reaction.
I know.
They get virtually zero reaction.
I know.
And it's a shame because I like Sarah Logan a lot. I really like Ruby Riott. Liv Morgan is whatever.
She's you know, there's been NXT call-ups who may not have been quite ready, who got called up and then kind of floundered because of it. But I think she's stepped up her game quite a bit since her call-up.
No, she's fine. I mean, she's got great packaging at least. But no, she's like decent. But yeah, they get like zero reaction. And I just feel like a fairly high profile situation with them and Nia Jax could have done a lot for a lot of people.
You know, it's a small thing, but Ruby Riott's theme song is such...
Oh, it's such a face theme.
Exactly.
Song. Yeah.
They need something a little darker, a little more menacing.
Yeah.
Still could be punk.
Yeah.
But not so pop punk. Make it a little faster, a little grimmer.
Like
a little more hardcore.
Some Rollins stuff.
Yeah.
Why am I blanking on his
Black Flag?
Black Flag, thank you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some of that. That'd be cool. TV party. Can it be TV party?
That might be a little too jokey.
TV party tonight. It wouldn't make a lick of sense.
No, it would, especially at the end when they're shouting out TV shows.
Dallas! Monday Night Football!
That's incredible!
Fridays! That's incredible. Oh, that was funny. Anyways,
yeah, Chad Gable versus Dolph. It was a fun match. It was
got a six-pack, and I don't want you.
Highlighting their amateur wrestling backgrounds. But Dolph won with a super kick, ultimately. And then afterwards, Drew got in the ring and just gave Chad Gable, a claymore.
Oh, man, it was great. Freaking love Drew McIntyre. God, what a freaking stud he is. Why can't he be face of company, Larson?
I know, man.
Have him go out there against Stephanie McMahon, and he'd do that like simultaneously sort of like half-flirting, kind of charming but menacing thing that he does.
Yeah.
Oh, come on!
Yeah.
When are we going to get him as face of the company?
After he has his program with Dolph.
I hope so.
That's what it's got to be.
Man, I hope so. I hope they're just waiting him out so that he doesn't get injured again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, okay, you're good to go. You're face of company.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he's so good.
Well, his injury was just kind of a freak thing.
I know, but you never know, man.
Yeah.
Next up, we had that match I was talking about, Dana Brooke versus Sarah Logan versus Liv Morgan versus Natalya.
It was a pretty fun match.
No, it's a fun match. They just get zero heat. The Riott Squad get no heat whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because they don't really let them do anything. I don't know, man. It bums me out because I like them.
Yeah.
I think they're good.
Yeah.
Anyways, Sarah Logan tapped out to a sharpshooter.
So Natalya is going to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
That's good. I like her. Yes. I like her a lot.
She gave an interview afterwards as well, saying she's going to win because her training partner is Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
Next, Elias dropped a promo and he did a little sing along with the crowd there in Albany.
Was good. Yeah.
It was good.
This was good. He says, but then he turned, he did a thing where, it was a sing along and he said, I want you to sing I Love Elias or something like that. He does the cue and then they say, I love Elias.
Yeah.
And then he did that a couple times. Crowd was super into it. And he said,
it's great when people, love you so much, but it's too bad I don't feel the same way about...
But any one of you here.
Yeah.
He says, what do you expect from me? I just came back. I was at the Eiffel Tower roaming the streets of...
Turin, he said. Yeah.
And then I'm here in this dumpster, this dump of a city, Albany, New York.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. Anyways, he got once again interrupted by... Bob Roode,
yes, and they had a match. Elias
three
attacks.
Minutes for that guy to freaking come to the ring.
Elias attacked Bob Roode before the bell while he's still in his robe doing his glorious pose.
Mm-hmm.
Had the upper hand. Bob Roode turned the tables, but ultimately eight defeat. Elias knocked Bob Roode off the top rope, hit Drift away, picked up the win. Clean victory. It's actually a pretty fun match.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. I wish they'd inject a little bit of, sometimes matches are just fine just being matches. It's just being about the wrestling. I feel like, especially with Bobby Roode, I wanted to see a bit more of like his personality, I guess. And I feel like him and Elias could have some really good back and forth stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want some of that. I want some like...
No, agreed.
Some
I agree.
Tossing.
I agree. I agree.
Have Elias steal his robe or something. Something silly, something stupid.
Yes.
I'm fine with it with these guys.
Yeah, imagine Elias out there wearing Bob Roode's robe.
See?
Singing a song.
There you go. What if he started singing the Glorious theme song?
There you go.
It'd be hilarious.
Glorious Elias is, Elias is.
And
he will be victorious.
It.
And our main event, Braun Strowman versus Finn Balor. This is a pretty basic story. Braun looking to overpower Finn. Finn using his quickness advantage.
Mm-hmm.
At first, Braun had the upper hand decisively.
Hold on a second.
Finn would mount a little bit of offense.
Forgot to mention, as Elias walked back up the ramp, Braun's music hit.
Oh, yeah. No,
and he comes running.
Shoulder tackles him.
Shoulder tackles Elias, and Corey Graves said, it's like somebody just shot Braun out of a cannon. That was a great line.
That was great. Finn eventually got the upper hand a bit on the outside. Did like a running stomp off the apron of the Braun and then a coup de grace off the barricade.
Yeah.
Was going for the count out win. Braun got in about eight.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, a really fun match. Some of Braun's trash talk was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was really good.
Where's your smile now?
Where's your smile now?
Braun eventually won with a power slam.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the match, he picked up Finn thinking that he was going to, you know, he's going to power slam again. Instead, he just rested him in the corner, did his pose.
Corey Graves said that must be a sign of respect.
Yeah, and that Braun took to Twitter saying as much.
Yeah, exactly. So that's cool. It's interesting. I'm wondering, while they're figuring out the Roman thing, are they seeing what they can do with Braun? This is an interesting test because you have Finn Balor, who's also one of the top faces in the company.
Yeah, and Finn was getting a good reaction whenever he'd make his comeback. People were into it.
But then at the same time, there were a couple times when the crowd were chanting, get these hands.
Yeah.
So they're seeing, okay, well, where do we stand with Braun? What kind of reaction is he going to get? If we get him in there with one of the most popular guys, what kind of reaction is he going to get? And people are still really into him.
Yeah.
They weren't booing him because he was beating Finn Balor or anything like that. They were really into him. They liked to see Braun.
And they were really into
thing.
The match towards the end, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially
yeah.
when there's some drama involved with Finn making his comeback.
Because it was just fantastic storytelling.
Yeah, it was probably Braun's best match.
Yeah, yeah.
From a storytelling perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyways, let's move over to questions.
Yeah, let's.
Oh,
well, yeah, Patrick Oliva mentioned there's a women's gauntlet match next week for the last Money in the Bank spot on Raw.
Oh, gauntlet matches are great.
So there's Riot Squad, Sasha and Bayley, and I think Dana Brooke. That's all happening.
Oh, cool. So it's like one of those second chance deals.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
It's exactly what it is.
It's exactly what it is. Precisely.
Exactly. Double J Joe Jensen. I know you usually don't dig a crowd hijacking a segment, but don't you think the crowd could have saved the show with a boring chant or what chance with the Sammy segment? Good God, that was awful. That was awful. But as I said earlier, I kind of appreciated the fact they gave it zero reaction.
There are times... Me too, because I think that makes the bigger statement.
Yes.
But there are times when I'm kind of okay with the crowd trying to hijack a segment. If they would have started chanting very loudly, this is boring, that would have done it, I think. I think that would have accomplished the same thing. But yeah, lack of reaction is always really good too, because that's horrible. You know, when you just hear nothing.
You know, there's moments where, you know, the lines that are scripted to get a reaction and there's silence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sends a statement.
The 6-inch Cyclops asks, who is going to be the next person to beat Braun clean? Clean?
I'll say Drew McIntyre in like 2 years.
And that's like down the line, I think. Yeah. That's down the line, yeah.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Minnesota Joe, am I the only one who thinks Stephanie's return makes Raw way less enjoyable? I don't want to see a 20-minute promo from her every week now.
See, the thing is, she could add quite a bit, but it's not going to be in the form of 20-minute promos. If she came out solely to do the contract signing bit, I think she added to that. I think she was better than if it would have been Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think she added to that. I just thought the bit at the beginning with her and Roman was just lame.
Yes. Nate Morris, with the SmackDown deal with Fox, what are the chances they might end the brand split by next year?
Oh, even less.
Yep.
Even less than they ever would have. No, I think they're going to make them even more distinct now.
Mower of Lawns, Alex C., is it cynical of me to think they're trying to use Seth's super babyface heat to make it look like Roman is being cheered? No, that's exactly what they're doing. That's what they did with Dean and Roman a couple years back.
Right.
They're trying to get Roman over by associating him with somebody who actually is over.
Yeah.
The same reason they reformed the Shield when they did. Probably.
I mean, it's not going to work.
No, it's never worked.
I think it had a chance to work when they were the Shield. I really do. I think it had a chance
well,
to work.
Well, it would have been if they had booked it so they all had titles to end Mania.
Yeah.
They would have been, people have been cheering the Shield as champions.
Yeah.
Not Roman,
right? Yeah.
The collective Shield.
But he is one third of the Shield.
I'm aware of that.
So they would have been cheering a part of him.
Yes.
An aspect of Roman, which is more than what they're doing now.
Yes.
They don't cheer any aspect of him.
No. Well, some people do.
They cheer when he's gone. They cheer when, what did Stephanie say? God, there was one line she said, something like, you'll be out of this company, you'll be fired from this company, or you won't be here anymore. Something like that, and the crowd cheered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron Moreno, how much does this feud against Roman help Jinder? And where does he end up on the card after this feud? I think Jinder's pretty well established as one of, if not the top mid-card heel.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah, me too.
Because, I mean, I was worried that he would just sort of fall off big time. And the dude puts in the work. He does get, like, true heel heat. He's got the best face in the business, man. Yeah. That face is fantastic.
And now he has the added legitimacy of being a former WWE champion.
I do. Yeah, no, absolutely. I kind of wish they would have. I know Seth with the IC title is great and everything. And they're really elevating that title with him. Part of me kind of wishes they would have shifted that back over to SmackDown, though, and did the switcheroo and had the U.S. title go to Raw.
Yeah.
I wish they would have done that. Let's see here. All right. Booby Booby Bum Bum says, rank these segments from least worst to worst. And Brock, without the K, Lesnar, has a similar question where it's F, Mary, kill these segments. But we'll just rank them. The old day, Bayley, this is your life. And Bobby Lashley sisters. I would say the old day is the least worst, is the best of the bunch. Because I don't recall it being as lengthy or as... I think the sisters one is probably the worst. Because when you have people like saying, you know, I was looking at Twitter this morning. There was people out there saying, I'm kind of done with the WWE for now after this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, and not just a couple people, like, because I was like, okay, what's the response to this? A lot of people are like, man, this is just not.
Yeah.
It was just pissed on all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, people are pretty hot about it. The Bayley Is Your Life one was just, it was just a black hole of reaction.
Yeah.
It was just there. Nothing was happening. It was just dying in front of everybody.
And it went on forever.
And it went on forever.
I looked, the old day segment is on WB's YouTube channel. And it's 4 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah. Definitely isn't good.
No, it was awful.
I'm just saying, I feel like that was less bad than the other two.
Whereas Bayley, This Is Your Life was about 12 minutes.
Oh, wow. Let's see here.
And... yeah, the segment last night with Lashley and his sisters was about 15 minutes. So it's the longest of them all.
Which one is the longest?
The Lashley sister, about 15 minutes.
Oh, my God. Daniel
Collette. This is all based on the lengths of YouTube videos of the respective things.
Daniel Collette says, hey, friendos, new Patreon with my first question. I was at Raw and SmackDown in London last week, and it was an awesome experience with a white-hot crowd both nights. My question is, what is the best crowd experience you've ever been a part of? I would probably say it was the Raw After Mania we went to.
Oh, that was fun.
That was a pretty big one.
I mean, this one singular moment was definitely at Mania 31 when Seth cashed in.
Oh.
You know, there were 70,000 people losing
money. Yeah, 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 yeah.
But yeah, as far as the whole show, Mania,
yeah,
the Raw After Mania, yeah.
It was a special moment.
Mm-hmm.
The entire arena just...
Dumping
all over
dumping
Roman
all over
and him kind of eating it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, the cash in terms of that singular moment, plus, like, you know, they had the Sting Triple H match, which is tons of fun. That was a fantastic Mania.
Penultimate Tommy Wiseau. Zack Sabre Jr. said, Taji Ishimori, when asked, if you could switch bodies with any wrestler, who would you choose? Because he liked the way Ishimori's abs feel. Which wrestler's abs do you want to run your hands across?
I'm not big on running my hands across other people's abs.
I mean, I want to have my own Balor abs.
I want to run my, yeah.
So
exactly.
I can do this with
but
them.
Do you think you would learn something by running your hands over Finn's abs?
No.
No.
As far as how to achieve them?
Yeah.
No.
No? Okay.
That would take a conversation with him, asking him how he achieved those abs.
Would it be more motivational for you to feel the abs?
No.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I don't want to touch anybody else. That is a great answer, though. Let's see here. The Undisputed Friendo Logdats. What would you like to see more right now? Finn as Universal Champion or Braun as Universal Champion? Give me Finn and then give me like a 3-month program with Finn and Braun.
I'm going to say Braun, but then move Finn over to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Put him in a program for the WWE title.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Kind of have my cake and eat it too.
Okay. Fair enough. Oh, God. This is my favorite question. I think this is Cody Miles, the going in Raw Wolfpack predictions keeper. In kayfabe, how does Baron get his human skull collection? Well, he steals them.
I guess
he's
so,
a grave robber.
Oh, God.
He's a grave robber. Of course. Hey.
Oh, wow.
Baron Corbin, another town, another cemetery, another addition to my collection.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Skull.
The official IWGP Friendoverse Heavyweight Champ, Zach S., assuming they use the Seth Rollins Open Challenge like the John Cena one, power rank NXT stars that should make a one-off main roster appearance to challenge Seth.
Oh, yeah, what a rip. Just realized we didn't get an open challenge last night.
Ricochet. That match would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Velveteen Dream.
That'd be good. Adam Cole, baby.
Oh, yeah.
With rib tape. Anti-Homelanian. Are Dolphin Drew the new T-Bar?
They could be.
I mean, their catchphrase is like basically just that. You know?
We're not trying to steal the show. We are the show.
And they fill the same spot that they did.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't know if he's trolling us right now or not, but Bronze Grappling Hook says, could you see the B team having a career similar to Edge and Christian as a tag team? No, that win streak is going to end eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to go on for a little while, but I don't think they're ever going to be taken really seriously.
Yeah, I know.
I would like them to be, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Nemo wants to know how, if at all, will the Fox deal affect the return of the XFL? It probably makes it a bit more certain if McMahon's putting his money into it. I mean, isn't McMahon putting like his own money into it?
Well, I mean, the original startup money, yeah.
Yeah.
He sold some WWE stock to
$100
million, whatever. But then he sold, WWE does have a stake in the new XFL.
Mm-hmm.
After he said they're going to be separate, because I guess WWE sold Alpha Entertainment, like the intellectual property of the old XFL, in exchange for a stake in the new XFL.
I mean, I'm sure it just makes it more likely to actually happen. I don't know if it's, you know.
How to lose at video games. Would you guys like to see Alexa Bliss history buff
be part of
her character?
Yes.
If it doesn't happen for real, can you please make it a new going in Raw character a la beloved cigar aficionado Cass?
Oh, man. I really wish they wrote that for Baron Corbin.
Oh, I know.
Back when in the 1970s, when the Visigoths and the Romans. It'd be like that Dirk Diggler stuff.
Yeah. Or drunken history.
Yes.
All right, let's do one more question. We can do play per view.
I like skulls. Do you skull?
They're from history.
Oh, man. Tim Morris. Will WWE be able to afford better writers now? In theory. I think there's going to be more.
Yeah.
They can afford more writers now.
I mean, Vince is going to hear what Triple H said, more but better, and just think more is better. You want to do pay-per-view?
Yeah, let's do pay-per-view.
Let's
Man,
do...
how about, did you hear about those freaking pay-per-views being confirmed as being super long?
I know. I'm going to do a Slamboree. Okay. WCW Slamboree.
I like where your headspace is at right
94.
Now. Okay.
Slamboree 94.
Was there a Slamboree in 1992?
I don't know.
I'm going to find out. Oh, the first one was in 93. So I'm going to do, I'll do the first one, you do the second one. We'll see how these stories played out over the year.
All right.
What was the attendance on yours?
4,000.
Jeez. First one was 7,000.
Where's the first one at?
The Omni.
Oh, in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
This one was in the Philadelphia Civic Center.
Oh, wow.
How many matches do you have?
Results. I have 10.
No, I only have 8.
Okay, I'll ditch the first two.
All right, I'll go first. Pretty Wonderful versus Brian Armstrong and Brad Armstrong in a tag team match.
I'm going to say Orndorff and Roma went over.
Yes.
All right. Dick Murdoch, Don Morocco, and Jimmy Snuka took on... No, you know what? That's a no contest. I'm not gonna swerve you with that one. Oh, perfect. Here we go. You know, I'm just giving you this. Van Hammer versus Sid Vicious.
Oh, it's got to be Sid.
It's got to be Sid.
a singles match for the WCW United States Heavyweight Championship. The challenger, Johnny B. Badd.
Okay.
Versus the champion, Steve Austin.
This is a slamboree.
Mm-hmm.
94. Who's the champion?
Austin.
Austin was the champion. I'll say they booked the hell out of Johnny B. Badd. I'll say he won. Yeah, okay.
Austin won.
All right. tag team match. Ivan Koloff and Baron Von Raschke versus Thunderbolt Patterson and Brad Armstrong. 4 minutes and 40 seconds of
tag
team
action. I'll go with the first
team. You think Ivan Koloff won?
Yeah.
Wrong.
No. Terry Funk versus Tully Blanchard.
Oh, wow. I'm not going to bet against Terry Funk.
Well, it's a double disqualification. Or is it WCW?
let's see here. Nick Bockwinkel versus Dory Funk Jr.
Oh, my gosh.
They were wrestling in the 90s?
Oh, my gosh. I'll go with Bockwinkel. He's younger.
Time limit draw. Oh. You're not the only one who can play that game. It was a 15-minute time limit draw.
Next, in the singles match, Lord Steven Regal versus the living legend Larry Zbysko.
Oh, man. This is the early 90s. Regal was still an up-and-comer. But Zbysko was way past his prime. WCW loves their past their prime guys. Zbysko.
Correct.
Yes. tag team action. Saw Dustin Rhodes and Kensuke Sasaki take on Rick Rude and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Oh, wow. No title on the line?
Nope.
I'll go with Rude and Wonderful.
Very good.
In a bull rope match, Dustin Rhodes versus the Bunkhouse Buck. Or Bunkhouse Buck. I guess there's no the in front of it.
I'll say Dustin Rhodes won.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was that the one they did on a truck?
No, this is a bull rope match.
Oh. I thought that was on a truck.
Maybe it was.
In a singles match, The Prisoner versus Sting.
Sting. Did Sting win?
Yeah. Sting won. I was just looking up who this guy was.
Yeah, who's The Prisoner?
Oh, Nails.
Oh, okay. Next, in a singles match for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship, the champion, Ric Flair, versus Barry Windham.
Oh, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Was Barry Windham ever WCW World Champion?
I think he was U.S. champ. I don't think he ever got the World Championship.
You're right about that. Steel cage match.
Ooh.
For the NWA and WCW World Tag Team Championships.
Ooh.
The champions, Hollywood Blondes, ooh, team of Brian Pillman and
yes,
Stone Cold
Steve Austin.
Yes. Versus Dos Hombres, Ricky Steamboat and Tom Zank.
I'll go with the Hollywood Blondes.
You'd be right about that, yeah.
Next, a match. A Broad Street Bully match for the WCW World Tag Team Championships with Dave Schultz, the special guest referee, the champions, the Nasty Boys, versus Cactus Jack and Kevin Sullivan.
I'll say... I'll say the Nasty Boys.
Nope.
Damn it. Singles match for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. The champion, Barry Windham.
Just answered our question.
I guess so. But that was because next is the WCW one. So my question was, did he ever have the WCW? I was the champion, the NWA champion, Barry Windham, versus the enforcer, Arn Anderson.
Oh, Barry Windham.
Yeah.
Sting versus Vader in a match for the vacant WCW International World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, the international title. I'll say Sting.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, in a singles match for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship, the champion, Big Van Vader, versus Davey Boy Smith.
No, Vader.
Wrong. Damn. Davey Boy won by DQ.
Damn. Well, Vader retained.
5-5
Yep.
Anyways, that's it for show.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Until next time, we'll wait. Hilton, hit the music.
Hit the music.
Hit the music, Hilton. Come on, what you got, man? There he is. All right, good job, Hilton. Anyways, that's it for show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.